Radio Prague News. A promised 5% pay rise for teachers has failed to avert the threat of a strike in the education sector. The United States is said to be considering hiring a private security agency to protect the planned US radar base on Czech soil. And the British mobile phone giant Vodafone has announced that it will distribute Apple's iPhone in 10 new countries, including the Czech Republic. Education Minister Andrej Liška's promise of a 5% pay rise for teachers this year has failed to avert the threat of a strike in the education sector. Minister Liška announced the increase on Monday, saying that teachers would get an extra 0.5 billion crowns from the 2008 state budget and another 4 billion crowns next year. Teachers, who have been threatening strike action for months, are demanding a bigger increase on the basis of rising inflation. They claim that with inflation of 7.5% in the first quarter, their real incomes have dropped significantly. The minister says he wants to engage in further negotiations with teachers' trade unions. The United States is considering hiring a private security agency to protect the planned U.S. radar base on Czech soil, according to Tuesday's edition of Bravo. The paper cites well-informed sources who are engaged in Czech-American talks, which should specify the conditions under which some 250 U.S. soldiers would operate the radar base on Czech territory. Czech Deputy Defense Minister Martin Bartak said previously that the Czechs would be responsible for the outer security of the base, which would be protected by the country's military police. The bilateral agreement also stipulates that in emergency situations, such as a fire, Czechs would have immediate access to the base. However, such emergency crews would need to have security vetting. British mobile phone giant Vodafone announced on Tuesday that it will distribute Apple's iPhone in 10 new countries, including the Czech Republic. The phones, which are to appear on the market later this year, will be compatible with a Vodafone network. The company did not specify what iPhone model would be made available or at what price. Launched 1 year ago, officially the iPhone is only available in the United States, Britain, France, Germany, Ireland and Austria. Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek is on a one-day visit to Estonia, where he is holding a series of meetings with senior government officials. The two sides are discussing trade relations, missile defense issues and visa-free travel to the United States. Both countries recently signed memoranda in Washington opening the way for visa-free travel to the United States for their citizens. Estonian Prime Minister Andrus Ansip said he would welcome the sighting of a U.S. radar base in the Czech Republic, saying it would improve security on the whole European continent. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days are expected to be sunny to partly cloudy with scattered showers and afternoon highs reaching 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Muslim community organizes a public screening of a controversial anti-Islamic documentary. Prague's iconic red and cream trams get a new lease of life in North Korea. And we visit Zlatá Praha, a Czech-owned restaurant in New York. Later in Talking Point, Rosie Johnston looks at the history of the Czech radio and its role in the modern days, on the occasion of its 85th anniversary.
I think radio has future, but I think it has to change according to people's behavior.
All that coming up, so please stay tuned. a controversial documentary by Dutch far-right MP Geert Wilders, which this year sparked protests across the Muslim world, has been screened for the first time in the Czech Republic. Monday's screening of the film Fitna in Brno was organized, perhaps surprisingly, by the Czech Muslim community, which is mainly centered in the Moravian capital. Fitna means ordeal or strife in Arabic, and the film shows verses of the Quran interspersed with footage of atrocities such as the 9/11 attacks on the US and the attacks on London and Madrid. So why did the Brno Islamic Foundation hold a public screening on Monday night? Munib Hassan Al-Rawi is the organization's head.
First of all, we wanted to show that Muslims are ready to accept criticism and they are open to any kind of discussion. Second, we wanted to point out that the film is biased and challenge the arguments presented in the film. We also wanted to make it clear whether we agree with what some Muslims in the film are saying.
Around 30 people attended Monday's screening of Fitna, which was followed by a debate. But the controversial Dutch picture was not the only film presented. The Islamic Foundation also decided to screen another documentary, which was made in response to Fitna.
We also screened a film called Schism, which was made in reaction to this film. It was made by a Muslim and it's structured in the same way as Fitna. It takes extracts from the Bible and links them to the killings of Iraqi people by Western soldiers. The author of Schism openly admits at the end of this film that this isn't the right thing to do. So we condemn Fitna and we also condemn any kind of links between Christianity and violence.
A few weeks ago, the small far-right group, the National Party, plastered the city of Brno with posters based on one of the Danish cartoons, which led to a storm of controversy when they were first published in 2005. The Muslim community in Brno chose not to respond in any way at that time. However, in the case of Fitna, they decided to take a different approach.
There are groups of people in the Czech Republic who'd like to use the film in order to present their anti-Muslim views. So we decided to screen it first to prevent any possible conflicts in the future.
The Czech Muslim community plans to organize further screenings in other cities, such as Prague and Olomouc. Open screenings are also planned by the National Party, which has already made Fitna accessible on its website. The Prague Transport Authority announced on Tuesday that the first of 20 reconditioned trams would be shipped to North Korea this week. The North Korean government are paying about 13 million crowns, that's just over $800,000 US, for the second-hand trams, one of Prague's most instantly recognizable symbols. But as Rob Cameron reports, they are not the first Czech trams to be sent abroad, and not even the first to be sent to North Korea.
In the unlikely event you were to find yourself waiting for a tram at Pyongyang's Manyeondae station, you might well be surprised to see a Czech tram trundling along the rails towards you. But Czech trams have long been a feature of life in the North Korean capital. The first, a fleet of new T4 trams, arrived in 1991, in time for Kim Il-sung's 79th birthday. The T4 is the chunky, rather box-like model from the 1990s that runs on the number 3 line in Prague, for example. But the latest consignment heading for Pyongyang this week are reconditioned T3s, the older, iconic red and cream trams that date from the 1960s. The T3s were first produced by the CKD Tatra Smykov factory in Prague. The T stands for Tatra. In all, a staggering 14,000 T3s were produced in Smykov and exported all over the Soviet bloc as part of the Comecon system of allocating entire industries to individual communist countries. Today you'll see variations of the T3 throughout the world, from Sarajevo to Tashkent. Andrei Pechny is the spokesman for the Prague Transport Authority.
T3, I think this is the most remarkable tram in all post-communist countries anywhere in the Europe and also in the other cities of former communist bloc of countries. It was quite a good product to its days when it was produced. Also some centralization of economics of former Soviet bloc Union. So this is the reasons why they are all over the post-communist countries.
In fact, there are a number of T3s already operating in Pyongyang, second-hand trams from the former East Germany that were shipped off to North Korea when they were taken out of service. But as the T3 gets a new lease of life in Pyongyang and the other cities in the former Soviet bloc, it will gradually become less common here in Prague. The Transport Authority are slowly phasing out the creaky old T3s and replacing them with newer models, the latest designed by Porsche.
When Czechs began leaving the Upper East Side of Manhattan in the middle of the last century, many of them crossed the East River to Queens, the Astoria neighborhood in particular. Today you will still find some Czech-owned businesses in that part of New York, among them the Zlatá Praha Golden Prague restaurant. That said, the couple who own it, the Suchaneks, insist it's a Czech and Slovak establishment. Ian Willoughby recently spoke to George Suchanek at Zlatá Praha.
We opened 1991 on the end, and we were 15 years before we were on 21st Street. Actually, 16 years. So then that's mean we are here right now approximately in this business, in my own business, about 33 years.
What are the Czech items on your menu here, or Czech and Slovak items on your menu?
Well, we have typical Czech and Slovak menu. We have, like, for example, roast duckling with red cabbage and dumpling. We have svíčková, which is sauerbraten. We have beef with the dill sauce. Roast loin of pork with dumplings, fruit dumpling, Wiener Schnitzel. We have all kind of continental menu.
What about the ingredients? Can you buy them here, or are they imported from the Czech Republic or Slovakia?
Well, usually I have no problem to buy them here, but there are still some few specialties which I bring when I go, or somebody bring me from Czechoslovakia
or Czech Republic.
For example?
Well, for example, Majorán. Because the Majorán has a slight different taste. It's unbelievable, but that's the way it is.
What about the drinks you serve here? What's on your drinks menu?
We do have cocktails typical for New York, but as a Czechoslovakian restaurant, so I would say the cocktail time is even gone, long time ago. And we do, people go for, by us, go specially for beer, and we have all kind of Czech top-notch beer, like a Pilsner Urquell, Budweiser, Czechvar, Broček, Golden Pheasant, and Krušovice, Light Dark, so that we have quite a selection. Plus, the rest of it, we have all kind of bottles. And but then we have a wine. Unfortunately, we don't have any Czechoslovakian wine. And we have all kind of liquors. We have even some of those Czech liquors.
Who are your clientele? These people singing behind us, I believe, are Slovak.
Yeah, well, they have some Christian Slovak parties, so they usually come because it's nice to see people, how they can have the families get together. And it's even very interesting for me because I usually meet people which I don't see a year sometimes.
Would your clientele be almost all Czechs and Slovaks, or would other people come here as well?
No, I would say our clients are 50-50, and 50 are Czech and Slovak, and 50 are American, and then we have some German, some Hungarian, Polish, and rest of the Europe mostly, you know.
Is it true that this is where the Czech ice hockey players come to eat in New York?
Oh, yes, sure. But unfortunately now, they were here on the beginning, but they used to come more often on. But they do show up once in a while, like Jager comes here, Petr Prucha, Martin Straka, and they are Rangers. And then even who comes here, it's Patrick Eliage, who is a very nice guy. And, you know, a few other guys, if they come from another cities to play in New York, so they stop by because they heard about us.
What other celebrities have you had here from the Czech Republic or Slovakia?
Oh, mostly singers. So right now, for example, because I am a promoter for many, many singers, and I did promote already twice Karel Gott and Helena Vondráčko at the Carnegie Hall. And now, beginning May 11, we're starting a tour, Karel Gott Canadian Tour 2008. And we have a concert at May 11 in Toronto, a very prestige hall. It's a Roy Thompson. Then on Vancouver, we are May 14, and we are in Edmonton on May 18.
I believe you also sell Czech gifts here and even music from the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Well, you know, because we are very, very well known, so people come from all over the world, and especially American, and they say they don't have a chance to buy. Even now, you can buy almost anything through the internet, all right? But they still like, and we have some cut crystal, we have CDs, we have books, we have a t-shirt, we do have some small souvenir shop.
George Suchánek, the owner of the Zlatá Praha restaurant in New York, speaking to Ian Willoughby. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech Republic here in Central Europe.
Radio Prague is pleased to announce a new competition relating to Czech sportspeople. Which Czech sportsperson or team has particularly impressed you? Write and tell us what you know about them and why you admire them. The author of the best entry will win a week-long stay for two in Prague. 10 others will receive runners-up prizes. The best entries will be aired in our mailbox show on June the 29th, and you will also find them on our website, that's at www.radio.cz. The deadline for entries is June 13th, and the address to send them to is Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, postal code number 12099, Prague, or you can email them to cr@radio.cz. The first prize is sponsored by Oria Hotels, one of the biggest hotel chains in the Czech Republic.
And now it's time for this week's Talking Point with Rosie Johnston.
This year, Český rozhlas, or Czech radio, is celebrating its 85th anniversary. A number of special commemorative events and broadcasts are being planned for the coming months. As an institution, Czech radio has played its part in, and survived, two revolutions, as many major uprisings, and a world war. But could one of its biggest tests be, quite simply, a change in times and consumers' tastes? As we're bombarded with information from an ever-increasing number of sources, is there still a place for good old radio in the modern world?
Hello, hello. Prague, Czechoslovakia calling. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Footage from one of Radio Prague's earliest broadcasts, dating from 1937. The Czech state broadcaster Český rozhlas, to which Radio Prague belongs, goes back even further, to 1923. Czech radio's first station was Radio Journal, which still exists today. Its current head, Alexander Picha, tells me about the station's very humble origins.
The first radio broadcaster was called Radio Journal, the same name like my radio station. And they were broadcasting on the airport because there is a flat area there. And this is very good circumstances for radio broadcasting in AM. And they were broadcasting in a tent. And they had very, very simple problems. For instance, during symphony with musicians playing in a tent, there were small accidents where hens came to the tent and they were making kokorak, kokorak, and they had to stop broadcasting of symphony and so on.
Radiožurnál 13.30.
Today, Radio Journal is a much more polished affair, which broadcasts out of a state-of-the-art studio complex instead of a tent. But Mr. Picha admits that there are still problems. He and the board of Radio Journal have been deliberating the direction that his station should take.
I think that radio has future and has its position in the world. But I think it has to change according to people's behavior. We have to calculate with the ordinary behavior of listeners that they accept radio only, for instance, like backstage. And I think we can fulfill our role also in these circumstances because we can run, for instance, music. With the news, with the contributions, which work like hooks, small hooks, which catch listeners. And for instance, people can listen to music and contribution and can know from such kind of program that there are some presidential election in our country, that there is some problem of Kosovo, there is a problem with EU currency and so on.
Radio Journal, Czech Radio's flagship station, has ceded ground to commercial radio stations in the last 10 years. It's now the third most listened to station in the country. It's recently been trying to change to adapt itself to listeners' needs. But what does Mr. Picha think that these needs are?
You know, we live in a very, very nervous time, very nervous period. People don't have much time, so they don't have time to listen to very long contributions, to very long newscasts, and so on. So we follow such needs, and we shortened contributions, we shortened our newscasts, and so on. And this is the problem, because the old listeners, traditional listeners, are complaining. But the problem is that the amount of traditional listeners is smaller and smaller, and we are not able to catch people who have different needs from the radio, who, for instance, have only 20 minutes a day listen to newscast with some music, and then they have to run.
But what about the listeners themselves? I posted myself in front of the Czech radio building to ask some passers-by about their listening habits. My first question was how often they listen to the radio.
A little bit.
And what sort of things do you listen to?
News, mostly.
And when do you listen to the radio? When you get up in the morning, when you want to relax?
When I drive a car.
Velice málo kdy. Poslouchám ho ráno, když jsem doma. Ráno poslouchám rádio.
I only listen very rarely. I listen in the morning when I'm at home, but in the evening I watch the television instead.
Rádio a večer televizi.
Can I ask you if you listen to the radio a lot?
No, I don't, sorry.
Do you prefer the television or why don't you listen to the radio?
I like TV and reading newspaper off the internet.
Do you often listen to the radio? Sometimes, yeah. And what do you like to listen to on the radio?
Music.
Music, okay. And how do you find out your news?
Through the internet.
I listen to radio for 4 hours daily or so, because I need to relax and the music is the best for it.
Okay, so sort of classical music or...?
Listening hip-hop music and pop music sometimes.
Oldřich Cheap is one of Radio Prague's longest-serving employees. He deals with the technical side of radio broadcasting and is himself a radio enthusiast. He doesn't think that radio will be eclipsed by other forms of technology.
Well, I think that sound radio broadcasting, as it is usually called, will continue as one part of the media, and that it will... that it is not going to finish by some new technologies or anything of that sort. What I am sometimes, I must admit that I have been working for most of my life in international radio, and I am sometimes a bit concerned about the fate of international radio, since you know that its heyday was in the era of the Cold War in the 20th century. And after it ended, I think that nobody has yet succeeded in reformulating the role of international radio.
And does Mr. Cheap think that radio has any special quality, one thing that other media just doesn't have?
Sure, I'm sure that it has a distinctive property. For one, perhaps never switch on my own the TV receiver, but I'm constantly listening wherever I can, whenever I have free time to radio. So there will always be a part of audience who prefer spoken word to video, to pictures. So I'm not afraid about the future of radio.
Alexander Picha agrees.
Yes, radio has one special advantage, that you can listen to the radio, for instance, during driving, for instance, during your hobby, when, for instance, you are working in workshop and so on. You don't need to concentrate only on the radio. When you are reading internet or when you are watching TV, you have to focus only on TV, your eyes, your mind, everything. I think this is the hugest chance of radio, that you can listen to the radio everywhere.
We'll see how radio fares in this modern age of the internet and rival forms of media. But one thing is certain, increased competition is forcing radio to up its game and evolve, which can't be a bad thing.
And that edition of Talking Point with Rosie Johnston brings us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague. From myself, Ruth Franíková, and all of us here at the station, goodbye and take care.